Welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Happy Easter Sunday for those of you who practice Christianity or kind of just go along with what your mama wants you to do and show up to church, because that's what make Big Mama happy. I get it. Happy Sunday. He is risen. He is Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I really am struggling, guys. I have to be honest. I'm struggling. And the reason why I do this show partly is for my own little therapeutic outlet, along with hoping that what I share on the show actually helps. But I find quite often I get triggered a lot. And a lot of it has to do with the company cultures I deal with, I've dealt with, that you guys are dealing with. So today, I want to talk about the dynamics of company culture and its impact on us. And I want to dig into some of the things that I think we can all do to help us keep our sanity. But first, today's corporate warrior is Regina Bynoe-Jones. Regina has over 25 years of experience and currently serves as Chief Legal Officer for Baker Hughes Corporation. In this capacity, she oversees a global legal team of professionals supporting Baker Hughes operations in over 70 countries. Prior to joining Baker Hughes, Ms. Jones was Executive Vice President, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary with Delek US Holdings and Delek Logistic Partners LP, headquartered in Brentwood, Tennessee. Throughout her career, Ms. Jones has held domestic and international legal roles with responsibility for complex legal environments across the United States, Europe, Southeast Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East. Prior to joining Delek, Ms. Jones was with Schlumberger Limited for 13 years, where she was based in Paris, France for 5 years, and Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia for 2 years. Ms. Jones has also worked with Shell Oil Company, Dinergy Marketing and Trade, and El Paso Energy in varied legal and technical roles across the energy industry. Ms. Jones has a demonstrated commitment to global and local stewardship and has previously served on the board of directors for the Houston March of Dimes, the board of the Girl Scouts, San Jacinto Council, Houston, and Child Advocates. Professionally, she is a Texas Bar Foundation Fellow, an organization whose membership consists of the top 1% of Texas attorneys. She has previously served on the board of directors for the State Bar of Texas, where she served on the Audit Committee and the Disciplinary Rules and Professional Conduct Committee. She also served on the Europe Committee of the American Bar Association, the Houston Bar Association Strategic Planning Committee, and is a current member of the Executive Leadership Council. She is an absolute baddie. She has been recognized over and over again, especially in the Houston Business Journal. She has a great career and is a woman on the rise and to watch, especially as we look to diversify corporate boards. She is definitely a one to reach out to, and she's probably highly sought after. She received her BBA in general business from Sam Houston State University and her JD from South Texas College of Law, with an emphasis in technology law. She has been married for more than 25 years to her best friend, Kevin Jones. Regina and Kevin are the proud parents of two sons, Kevin and Dylan, who are both Eagle Scouts. That is so awesome. I think a lot of times we forget when we're on this corporate grind that there's more to our lives and we need to focus on all aspects of our lives. So I love reading Regina's bio, knowing that she is a complete badass in the boardroom, but also a family woman with married with kids. I think that's amazing. I know that's a lot of work. But shout out, Regina. Thank you for representing for the culture. And I hope someday to meet you because, again, guys, most of the corporate warriors I've never met. I just see they're doing great things out there and I want to acknowledge them. So if you know somebody who should be acknowledged in the corporate warrior spotlight, they're doing big, bad things in the world of work, be it nonprofit, education, you know, across all industries. If they are a badass in their industry, I want to big up them, okay? So send me a note at ask@trillinba.com and put in the subject line, Corporate Warrior Spotlight. Today, guys... I'm not going to take up too much of your time because it is a holiday. And hopefully, if you don't listen to this on Sundays, you are like, yeah, that's great. It was Easter. But if you do listen to this when it comes out, I don't want to keep you from all your good dinner plates. I know myself, I will be house hopping and partaking in all the food I probably shouldn't eat. But I want to start out this conversation with you with some truth, right? And I'm the Trillist, so gotta start there. Let's tell the truth about the workplace. Let's be just frank and honest. If the construct of whiteness had its complete way, none of us would be in any of these spaces. These places were not built for us. And in fact, only white men would be in these places because, you know, the construct of whiteness is married to the construct of patriarchy. Like, they are the evil dynamic duo. So, you know, we were never meant to be here. But as humans evolve and they start to see the just stupidity and some of the constructs and stories we've told ourselves to operate our society, we realize that it actually benefits us when we have a representation of the entire population in these companies and, more specifically, in leadership positions. But with that said, how many of us are taught to read the workplace? I don't know about you, but my mother, God rest her soul, was a teacher's assistant and she was a paraprofessional in the school district. She spent 20 years working for Victoria Independent School District in elementary schools, helping teachers corral their little badass kids, pretty much, but also helping like the kids who needed the extra, you know, time and attention. That's what she was really good at. And she really loved it. She didn't work in a corporate space. You know, school districts have their own ish and they have their own politics. But one thing about schools, if you're a teacher, you can join the teacher's union. And my mom actually was a part of a teacher's union. And that union really did come through for her when the construct of whiteness was rearing its ugly head in her professional or career journey. So I saw that when I was younger, but then when I got to corporate, there's no union. There's no union for me. So what do you do? Companies are real quick to throw, you know, we're an at-will employer, right? And so the thing you have to do is you have to open your eyes and you need to work to gain a deep understanding of the following. Number one, you need to understand the written policies. So that employee handbook, baby, let me tell you, you need to read that thing backwards and forwards. You need to keep a copy somewhere close, electronic or a physical copy. And you need to understand what they have written intimately, right? Then you need to know, what are the exceptions? What are the things that are actually happening that go against the company policy, but everybody's okay with it, right? Or the things that the company policy leaves a gray area so people exploit that. Like, you have to pay attention to what the written rules are and what the unwritten rules are in this ecosystem called your workplace, right? And then the third thing you need to get a deep understanding and see is, who are the true decision makers and influencers of those decision makers, right? So you've got people who clearly make the decision, but then you have the other people who influence them, because a lot of leaders have a go-to person. They have a sounding board. They have counsel. Because we're human and we don't know everything. Huh? And you need help. And you need guidance. That's why leaders build out their team. That's why you see a lot of leaders, like if you have a new leader come into the organization, they'll bring people from the last organization they were at with them. Because they trust those people. Those are their sounding boards. Those are the people that I know this person is not going to be gunning for me. And you need to have as many people that you know as a leader that you know for sure are not going to be gunning for you, because you're going to have these other bitches gunning for you, especially if you're new to the organization. Now, that's just brass tacks of how these Hunger Game workplaces are built, right? Like, regardless of other constructs like race and gender, this is just the human behavior of the workplace. It is quite frankly ridiculous, because we're all supposed to show up for this entity and drive the entity to make more money, because that's how we get paid. But for some reason, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people come in with their own agenda. And that agenda is also shaped by all these other things like racism, sexism, all the isms, right? And that's where you get this just, ugh. And at the root of all that is the dehumanization of people in these places. Even if the dehumanization is not intentional, because you can work with somebody and if you have a perception of them, then that's what you're going to see. So if, for example, if you believe that your boss hates you, or if you believe your boss doesn't like you, or you believe your boss has something against you,
I mean, they do,
then everything they do is going to seem like a dig, a slight, a this or that.
Yeah, but
when in actuality, the actual intention of your manager could be to actually help your dumb ass. Oh. But here we are. And it be that way sometimes. And I think for us, you know, it's real easy for us to see how the construct of whiteness is playing out, even unintentionally. But I want you to really take a step back and do this work, because you can't get promoted until you understand how this organization works. Okay? So now, when we get back from the break, I'm going to touch on this Forbes article that I read about women of color. And the title of the article is Women of Color Can No Longer Buy Into the Inclusion Delusion. And I was like, what? When we get back from the break. Hey, guys. All right, look. It's really literally 6 days until the SheLead conference. It's on April 23rd. Come on. If you haven't registered and you're in Atlanta or you get to Atlanta that weekend, come see me. I'm going to break down the pie model. I'm going to give some extra nuggets. I'm going to talk about what I'm going to talk about in the Patreon session about pie. Like, I'm going to break it all down for us. So if you can make it to Atlanta, it's a good Saturday. I'm not the only person speaking. My good friend Tia's on a panel. She's a friend to the show. She's been on the show. There's all these awesome corporate badass women who have been in the trenches, are in the trenches, and ready to share all this knowledge to help you thrive in your career. So to learn more, check out the link in the show notes and come holler at your girl. All right, now back to the show. All right, guys, listen. This segment, I want to talk about this article. And the reason why I bring up this article around culture is because this is the absolute issue that we have with the culture right now, I believe, in my spirit. There's this kind of capping that's going on right now for us, right? Like, you even see it online. It's like, it's a beautiful day to be a Black woman. And it's true, but it's always been a beautiful day to be a Black woman. Like, that hasn't changed. Being a Black woman has always been dope as fuck, even with racism and sexism. It's just amazing to be a Black woman. Like, there's so much heritage and history and love and perseverance and just dopeness, flavor, just everything. We are everything. We are the mothers of the earth, literally. So being a Black woman has always been amazing, no matter how much they try to deny us our humanity. But this article was written, it's a Forbes article, the link will be in the show notes. It's by Deepa Purushothaman. I really probably fucked that up. I do apologize, Deepa. But she basically talks about what we saw play out with the hearings for the now most honorable Ketanji Brown Jackson, soon to be Associate Justice on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. First Black woman to ever hold this highest judgeship, right? I don't know if judgeship is a word, but ride with me. So basically, this is a great article because this woman was a former partner, senior partner at Deloitte, which I can only imagine. As a senior partner, like, you have really worked your ass off. You have played the game till you couldn't play it no more. You have just done the most, okay? The most. And she knows intimately what this is. You know, being damn near perfect and still having people, you know, shit on you. But the thing that she wanted to call out in this article, she says, you know, she left Deloitte to start a company that helps women of color find their power through safe space and community. And she gets calls from senior women of color a lot for advice. And she goes, some are 6 months into their new jobs, calling because they have yet to be given what they were promised, a reasonable budget, staffed, direct reporting to the CEO. Listen, guys. Basically, in this article, I'm going to read this part. Last week's hearings only opened the door for more women of color to leave. Why? Because professional women of color have always been victims of and sometimes unconsciously complicit in the inclusion delusion. The conundrum of being highly visible as the first or only woman of color at their organization and at the same time never feeling like they belong, are respected, or have power. Because you don't. Until recently, we have been taught to ignore these problems and keep working harder. Until recently, child, you let the respectability politics, Negroes, they still holding on. I ain't one of them, okay? We need to change this shit. And that's why I'm doing this show today. Deepa goes on to say, companies have stepped up to the plate to hire us, flaunt us in team photos and charity dinners, and offer us up as evidence that they have a diverse workforce. However, they don't pay attention to how challenging it is for us to feel a part of their cultures or what they can do about this. Oh, Deepa, they don't want to do nothing about this. They really don't. And this is why we need to stop playing their little game. Stop being a victim of this. Like, we see it now. We know it now. They're not going to do better. We must dismantle so much before these companies can do better. But at the end of the day, girl, you got to get a check. Okay? So what do you do when you find yourself being put in this position? Because it happens a lot at senior levels, but it also happens at, you know, our more junior levels, right? They'll put you on a committee on the Black ERG, and then they'll send you to a conference to, you know, show we have Black people, we send them to conferences. They do all these things, right? To, you know, make it seem like or give the illusion that they are really about this life, that they really are changing. And so I urge you to not do the Black shit at work unless you really understand what it's really going to get you. Okay? This has to be a mutually beneficial opportunity. And you have to be clear and you have to understand. That's why in the first segment I talked about, you have to understand the culture of the company in those ways. Because then if somebody comes to you and says, hey, Felicia, hey, you know, you've just been a rock star at the organization and you're really liked and likable. And that's because I've done all the things I've told y'all to do in all the other episodes, okay? And, you know, you just bring so much great energy and light, and we just love you. We just love you. And we're really trying to work on changing culture. You know, we have learned so much, and we really appreciate you for, you know, being vulnerable and letting us know that, you know, we can be different. And so what we would like for you to do is be the co-chair of the Black ERG. You know, we really could use your thought leadership. And we just hope that you would consider this. And I know it would be a time commitment, but it would be so great. And it would be where you could fuel that passion that you have. And I just think it would be such a win-win. Well, Karen, I just really appreciate you for thinking of me. You know, I am passionate and I do a lot of volunteer work with the inner city youth outside of work. And I just don't know if I have the time to dedicate to making sure I continue to deliver results for the organization and do my volunteer activities outside of work. And so at this time, unfortunately, and I am so sorry, but I am going to have to decline because I just can't make it work. But you know what I will do? I will help you, Karen, find somebody in the organization that really would have the capacity to help. You know, Bob, I work with Bob. He is amazing. He has been an advocate of mine. He is just awesome. And I really think, you know, this is something he could sink his teeth into. Now, I don't know if y'all noticed, but yes, I just recommended Bob, the white guy, who during the whole George Floyd thing was just really super guilty and really was like, what can I do? What can I do? Guess what? Guess what you can do, Bob? You can be the chair of the Black ERG. Yes, yes, you can. Why? Because there's no membership requirement except for to be an employee of the company. Like, you don't have to be Black to be in the Black ERG. So guess what, Bob? I recommend you. You do it. listen, here's how we're really going to change these places and make them safe for not just us. Because listen, once they're safe for us, they're safe for everybody. That's just brass tacks. We have to let go of our own agenda when it comes to changing the culture. And we all have it. We all, you know, we want to fight the fight. Trust me. I be wanting to be straight up Black Panther in my organizations. And I realize now that I was never in the right position to push in that way. And that I was giving so much energy. And the reason why there was so little change or no change from any of the energy I was given was because I didn't have the right level of influence, nor did I have the backing of any of the real decision makers. And so whatever level you're at, until you know you have the right level of influence and visibility and you have the backing of decision makers, you cannot make change. It's so cool because I have seen where some people do get that. So one of my IU classmates who graduated some classes after me, I'm watching what he's been able to accomplish at his company because the CEO of the company, and this is a Fortune 500 company, guys, that he's working at, and he's still pretty junior, you know, in his post-MBA journey. But after George Floyd died, the CEO took him in, brought him in the circle, like real talk, and said, help me. And I'm going to listen to you. And I'm going to wield my force by what you tell me to do. And he has accomplished so many great cultural shifting things in that organization that it almost made me be like, could I work there? And then I realized, no, girl, no, you don't like that. So no, can't do that. But it's amazing to see. But you see what I'm saying? The CEO of the company is meeting with him one-on-one and like really taking into account what he's saying. So until you get there, child, let this Black shit go. Let them have it. Focus, okay? Gotta focus, which is what I'm gonna talk about next after the break. Hey guys, I just wanna give a big thank you to all of the people who have signed up for my Patreon and helping us continue with the show. Chris, our editor, is also very happy because I can continue to pay him because you guys are helping out and allowing us to keep making this dope-ass show. So I just wanted to say a quick shout out to all the Patreon members. Thank you. I will see you soon. If you didn't get an email, check your spam folder and make sure you sign up for the April session. All right, guys. Thank you again. And it's not too late to sign up for Patreon. You'll make it to the May session. And we're excited for you to come and join our community and help us keep the show going. So with that said, let's get back to the show. All right, guys, it's time for the
most important thing. You gotta stay focused.
Just gotta stay focused on your goals, okay? Because understand, we're not going to be able to change anything until we move up, which is why I do the show. I know a lot of people are of the mindset of, we got to make our own table. Fuck they table. I get that. I do. But all of us can't be entrepreneurs. Some of us have this reality that we live in and we are in this construct of the workplace. So we have to figure out how to make it work for us, how to survive, and then how to thrive in these spaces. And I'm here to tell you, you can, but there's steps and we all got to take a few baby steps. So the first one is stay focused on your career goals. And if you know that you want to be a decision maker and you want to be an influencer in these spaces, then you have to climb up to that level. And if you get into a company and that company is not serving you any longer, you know, they're not pouring into you, it's not mutually beneficial, you can't see where you would ever get high enough to make a meaningful change, leave, go somewhere else, okay?
Running away is okay.
Don't be afraid of the devil you don't know, because guess what? It's still the devil. The devil that we all know. Mostly the construct of whiteness. It's the same shit, different smell. So with that, you guys, we're gonna wrap up this show now. If you need some help or advice about a specific situation, go to trillmba.com/coaching and schedule a 45-minute consultation with me, the trillest MBA you will ever know, to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consult with me, and ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. Also, guys, when you email me, if you have a listener letter that I can read on the show, please put listener letter in the comments. And if you send me a listener letter, I will give you a free consultation. So let's all help each other to teach each other. So come on, guys. Send me those listener letters. Tell me your crazy work stories. I'm here to help. So with that said, I hope you guys had a wonderful Easter holiday, Good Friday, all those things. And we'll be back next week with more of my Trill MBA shenanigans. So until next time, guys, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.